Welcome, everyone. You have reached the Popcorn and Pop Culture Podcast. I'm going to be your co-host for today. My name is Robert Eng, and hello. So let me introduce to you to the other co-host. His name is Michael Sheehan. Michael, say hello.
Hello, guys. My name is Mike Sheehan, as Rob said, and I will also be your co-host for today.
That's right. This is the Popcorn and Pop Culture Podcast. We're going to be talking about entertainment news on this podcast, but specifically for this episode, we're going to be talking about an HBO miniseries that just wrapped up recently this past weekend, and that is The Night Of. Mike, first, what were your impressions for the whole show?
So I really liked the show. I gotta say, like, it took me a while to actually get around to watching it. I think I was four episodes in before I finally got the time around to watch it. And I got to watching it, and I really, really enjoyed it.
I guess we should say that, spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about the finale. We're going to be talking about everything about this whole season and this whole show. So if you haven't seen it or you haven't seen the entire thing, you might want to just click pause, watch it real briefly. By briefly, I mean the 95 to 100 minute finale episode, and then come back and listen to us. Right, Mike?
That's right.
What did you think about that? That 95 minute finale was kind of like, it was daunting at first, but I really think they paced it well, and I really, really did enjoy the finale.
No, I did too, and I did not know that it was going to be that long when I first, you know, tuned in, and I saw it was all the way till 10:45 p.m., and I was like, oh my god, how am I going to stay awake for this?
Definitely. Okay, so let's just talk about the ending. Let's talk about the finale at first, and then we can kind of go back to the whole show. Were you satisfied with the way the finale kind of just like turned out to be?
Yes and no. I liked that the show wrapped itself up in a nice little bow. You know, I thought for an eight episode limited series, it made sense. You had to do that, and I really appreciated that. The one thing that I didn't like was, you know, how it actually ended up resolving, in the fact that it, you know, finding out who actually was the killer, and it not being someone who we suspected earlier in the show.
Right. Yeah. No, I can understand people feeling that way. Personally, me, I didn't. It's so weird because, like, when you watch a show, every kind of show has an identity, has a personality, and you're trying to, you know, you can pretty much figure it out, especially with shows that are in longer seasons. Like, you know, maybe the first season is kind of like the first 15 minutes of a movie. You're just trying to feel out the tone of the movie or the mood. And with this limited series, it took me a while. I'm just like, I'm not really sure what kind of show I'm watching, but I'm intrigued and I like it. Like, is this going to be more of a court procedural? Is this going to be more of like, you're going to really see what it's like to be in prison in Rikers Island and how that affects you? Is this really going to be a kind of, a murder mystery with an investigation and a whodunit type of thing? And after watching it for a while, I was just like, this is definitely not a show that's going to throw twists and turns at you. This is definitely not at all really that, it doesn't really matter that much about who actually killed the girl. It really kind of was more of a show that was immersed in reality and how the process can fail certain people when they are in a situation like Naz was, and how, you know, kind of like the speech that John Turturro as John Stone gave at the end of this episode was just like, it just kind of like summarized the entire show up perfectly, and how, like, you know, he's seemingly innocent, but like his fate was determined in those 10 seconds that he tried to run away when he made some stupid mistakes. He did commit lots of crimes, but he was there's no actual proof that he did commit murder, and how what you see today and what the jury was actually judging him on was the result of being in Rikers Island more than the result of being a killer. And that was kind of, as the viewer, we were supposed to see, we saw more than the jury saw, but we still kind of had those thoughts and those judgments while watching the entire series. So it was just so fascinating to me. I really, really loved it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. That was very well said. I had some minor problems with the finale overall, and the fact that, just as you described, like, we as an audience member, we get to see what he goes through and how awful it is being in jail, and the just, you know, what he has to do to survive. But the jury never gets to see that, right?
Correct.
And so I was a little confused when they come back with the verdict and they're deadlocked at 6-6, you know, 6 in favor of guilty, 6 in favor of not guilty. Because if I was, you know, a juror on that trial, I probably would have thought he was guilty based off of all the evidence and based off of, you know, that final cross-examination from the prosecutor, who she just kind of tore him apart, and he should have never gotten on the stand at all. So I did not like that. One other minor problem that I just want to point out that I didn't think made a lot of sense. So his defense lawyer, Chandra, I didn't really understand. She seemed so smart. She came across so well and educated. And on trial, she said all the right things. I think she could not have mounted a better defense for him. But then she makes these stupid mistakes, like she ends up kissing him. That I can forgive. But I don't think there was not enough there for her character to have fallen in love with Nas to then all of a sudden be smuggling drugs, you know, on herself into the jail to him. That seems very far-fetched to me. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, 100%. I've been talking to some friends about the show and the finale since it aired on Sunday. And yeah, that's the number one thing that I had a problem with throughout the finale and throughout the last couple of episodes, was just Chandra's character. Like, first of all, I never thought she would be this big of a character on the show. And that being said, her character was just, like you already brought up, was just not developed well. It was not fleshed out at all. We only knew Chandra as this, you know, this girl that was just, like, kind of, like, just bringing herself up as a lawyer in this big firm, taking on this case. She seemed like a really nice woman. She seemed like she obviously just broke up with her boyfriend. I feel like that was just like such a cheap little thing to throw in there to kind of give reason to why she might kiss Naz. But the whole, every single thing she was doing, like you just said, it just was so stupid. And I'm not saying that what she did and what her character did was, I mean, it was inconsistent, but it might not have been because we just didn't know anything about her character other than her spending all her time defending Naz and everything like that. Like, we didn't know anything about her character at all. So maybe everything does make sense, because in the beginning, we don't know anything about Naz, and we're kind of like, you know, kind of one of the biggest points of this show is that, like, as a viewer, we see Naz for the first time, and he is this, you know, this kid. You know, he kind of just looks preppy. He looks kind of like geeky-ish. He's tutoring the basketball team. He just wants to go to the party, but he's not allowed to. Then he sneaks out, and then he does all these things. And it's just like, okay, fine, yeah, he's definitely innocent. But then that's us judging and trying to make these assumptions and presumptions about this one character that we really relatively know nothing about other than what we just saw. And as the show goes on, as the court case goes on, as the investigation goes on, we find out he's really not that innocent of a guy. He sells drugs, he's had a history of violence, though all of that stuff has been, like, you know, warranted because of the stereotypes and prejudices against him as a Muslim. But it's just like, that's kind of like the whole point of the show. But like I said, I'm just so disappointed, and this is the only thing I'm really disappointed in, is that Chandra's character just seemingly was just very lazy and just not developed at all.
Yeah, and you know, it's not like maybe something that would have been fixed with a longer season. You know, 8 episodes is a very short time period to try and fit in as much as they tried to tackle, which I, you know, give them props for trying to tackle so much, but you know, maybe if we had 10 or 12 episodes, we could have got to explore her character more and it would have made more sense. You know, like you were saying with Nas, like, we get to spend a lot of time with him, so we see these things unfold, and we're learning more about him, you know, when in the scenes we literally see him, but as the investigation goes on, as they probe into his life, you know, as they interview his teacher from his grade school, you know, all those little things, we get to learn more about who he was and through the trial. And so we get we're just learning. We're always learning about Nas and who he is.
Definitely, definitely. And What do you think?
So let me ask you this question.
Okay.
What do you make of the whole eczema, with his foot and then this massive breakout at the end? What was your interpretation of that through the series? Because they spent a lot of time on it.
They did. I mean, there's probably some type of correlation or meaning or symbolism to go with that. Throughout the whole series, I was just kind of really looking at it, not critically, just saying, okay, you know, this is just this lawyer played by John Turturro, and he's just kind of on the bottom. He's a bottom feeder of lawyers because he's just defending all of these criminals that are just trying to get a better deal, and kind of having this the eczema, like you said, it really made him kind of more sympathetic, more human, more something. I liked it because it was something unique in a character that I'm not even sure I've ever seen before. I'm not sure if I can even name another character from a movie or a television show that had eczema like this. And you know, sure, like the stress and the breakouts and certain things were flaming it up, and he was going to his group, and I don't know, you're right. They did spend a lot of time on it for it to kind of maybe technically being nothing. So there probably is a bigger reason for having all of this in it. But I just kind of saw it as a way to, humanize him even more, to gain sympathy, and to kind of just like, I don't know, I think this show, one thing that this show did very, very, very well was kind of concentrated on the details of certain things, whether it was characters, whether it was dialogue, whether it was the court or the jail. They really spent a lot of time trying to get specific details correct, and I think that was just one detail that made John Stone such a really interesting and great character on this show.
Sure. So let me just tell you something that I read about that I like this interpretation. Don't know if it's the truth or what the writers were going for.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that John Stone had this issue, the eczema kind of actually represented the legal system.
Mm-hmm.
And so it keeps chugging along. It's got some issues, but, it keeps trying to fix itself. It keeps trying to fix itself. All of a sudden, then it, when it actually goes away from it in the show, it is the symbolism that, for a little while, at least, the system is working appropriately. And then all of a sudden, everything gets broken again, and it just keeps trying to chug along without a permanent fix.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a kind of interesting interpretation, seeing as he represents, he's a lawyer, so he literally represents the law, and he has, he has this issue, kind of just like the legal system does.
Yeah, no, I like that explanation. Like I said, there's that very well might be the reason why they put that in, and it makes sense because the show definitely does tackle those issues and, how the legal system and the jury process happens, and, just being in New York City as a Muslim, and that whole aspect was so fascinating for me because, you get a lot of prejudices, especially during this time. We're in this day and age, we're used to all of this stuff happening, and there's bullying, and there's just terrible things happening every single day, and this really kind of puts a television show right front and center, not just any TV show that's going to tackle a Pakistani teenager that commits murder that might or may not be guilty. It was just that it was an HBO show, and that made it even more important because HBO has a very, very high quality of standards, and people will just watch an HBO show just because it is an HBO show. And I don't know if this character of Naz, I don't know how famous he is or if he's done many other things, but I didn't really recognize him. And just almost the entire cast, sure, like you recognize these cast, but there's no huge A-list actor in this show yet. I feel like, when I'm talking to my group of friends, so many people have watched it, and that's what makes this even more important.
Well, I think John Turturro is an A-list actor. Well, I mean, in my heart, he is.
In your heart, he's not going to, he's not going to carry a blockbuster film anytime soon.
You know who was supposed to be cast in that role, right?
Nope.
It was James Gandolfini who was actually supposed to play that.
Ah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever noticed he was an executive producer on the show.
I did see that.
He was meant for that role. They kind of wrote the show. They started writing this with him in mind to play that role, which would have been completely different, I think. you know, because the way those two guys are, I mean, they just have a completely different attitude and way of carrying themselves, and so it would have been interesting to actually see him in the role.
Oh, without a doubt. I think John Turturro did an amazing job, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love the T-Dog.
just finally, like, so the way the show ended, and like you said, you were a little bit like, you know, it's kind of weird that not weird, but it's kind of like disappointing how they threw the killer in as just like a person we haven't seen yet. I was watching the ending, and I don't know, there were just so many, as the finale was unwinding, so many possibilities were popping up in my head. I'm like, oh my god, they're showing him, they're actually showing how it's someone else probably did murder her, and that he is innocent, and then for some reason I'm just like, so that means that they're totally gonna find him guilty and he's gonna be stuck in jail. And then I was thinking like the total opposite thing. I'm just like, they're gonna find that he's innocent. They're gonna say in court that he's innocent, but then somehow or another they're gonna show that Naz during his blackout actually did somehow kill her in some kind of fit of rage or something like that. Like, I was thinking of all of these things, and I don't know if you were thinking of anything like that.
No, you know, I wasn't. But you know, thinking back to the finale, they never actually tell you who did it.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of lead you to believe that it's this financial advisor guy.
Right. That's true.
Which, you know, but if you watch the show and I walk away with it convinced that it is him, which just shows to me that how good a job the show did at convincing me that Naz was innocent and that convincing me that this guy is now guilty. But that's all I had to say about that. So let's go ahead and wrap it up. Thanks for listening in to the Popcorn and Pop Culture Podcast.
Yep, thanks for listening, and come back next time, folks.